Welcome back, everyone. Al Gottfried, AJ Gottfried. We are in our Prosper, right outside of Dallas, Texas studios, enjoying some good sports talk, lifestyle, and, you know, obviously this is basketball time, and both women and the men. It's a pleasure to introduce a dear friend of ours for many years. He's the head coach of the Pirates out at East Carolina State. AJ, you used to play a little basketball yourself.
Right there in, I think it's Greenville, North Carolina. Let's bring on Michael Schwartz. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great, guys. I appreciate you guys having me. And you're right, Greenville, North Carolina, East Carolina University. You know, you say Greenville, a lot of people think South Carolina first, but there is a beautiful, beautiful community here in Greenville, North Carolina, where the Pirates are.
Yeah, how long have you been coaching down there now, Michael? And congratulations on all the great successful moves you've made in your young, early career.
No, I appreciate you saying that, Al. And, you know, I got great respect for you. And I remember, as you said, a longtime friend of the family. And thank you for everything. And been here now 2 years. Just finished our second season here in Greenville. And family loves it here. And we're just trying to build a successful winning basketball program at a great university.
So you got the day off today talking to me.
There's no day off for this guy.
You know, I'll tell you guys, this college basketball has changed more in the last 2 years than it has in the 20 years combined previously. And a big reason for that is obviously NIL as well as the transfer portal. So really the postseason, it is not the postseason. I mean, maybe come May, a little bit in May, it'll feel like that for college coaches. And I think for all college athletics coaches when their postseason begins, but just because of the new climate that is what college athletics is, the postseason really is irrelevant right now in college basketball.
You've obviously, you talked about 20 years, Michael, being, you know, in this particular field. And I want to ask you before we get started on the current climate of basketball, especially when it comes to college. But first of all, what about coaching basketball? How did this come to mind? Why did you want to be a coach in college basketball? And how did it all occur? I mean, how young were you?
Well, you know what? I was very young when I fell in love with the game of basketball and competing and just every aspect, the team aspect, in my opinion, just it's a beautiful game. And I just loved it as a kid in Los Angeles playing. And so I always wanted to be a player and play as long as I could. I had an opportunity to play in college, which was great. But you ask probably most coaches why they want to get into coaching, it'll tell you because they knew they couldn't play anymore.
Yeah.
At some point, I knew that had to come to an end. So you go to the next thing that you can really, because in my opinion, coaching and basketball and this lifestyle, probably a lot like you guys do, it's not what you do. It's a lot of who you are. And so coaching ends up being that next step when you know that the competitive juices and playing really that has to wind down. So, but as far as coaching, you know, when I got to the University of Texas, you know, you still had aspirations of playing professionally. You think you can do it in high school. You get to your early college days and you think you can do it. You don't really understand. But when you start practicing against Big 12 players every day, I quickly understood that this probably wasn't going to be for me in terms of playing beyond my days at Texas. I saw what it looked like to play against NBA players and professional players and what that felt like every day in practice. And so my time at Texas, I really began to fall in love with the aspect of becoming a coach. And obviously, in my opinion, in one of the greatest coaches of all time, Rick Barnes, who is a mentor to me, and had a chance to play under him and learn under him and become a young coach, a young grad assistant and video coordinator and so on and so forth as I learned what this was all about. And it just sparked a passion that is still about as high as it can be right now.
Yeah. Well, you've had, I mean, a great career over the last 20 years. I mean, if you go through it a little bit from Long Beach State, you've traveled a lot. Then you went to Texas, San Antonio there, Miami, Fresno State, and then Tulsa, Tennessee, and Knoxville. And wow, now your second year entering as head coach at East Carolina. And I want to ask you about, you know, the status of college sports in general right now. It's really changed. You talked about, you know, from 20 years ago to what it is today. Now, has it changed? It's probably presented a lot of challenges for you, but you know, what kind of challenges are they as far as being a head coach in, you know, basketball? We've seen a lot of different challenges when it comes to college football, especially. Very curious to see how it hits you guys in the basketball world.
Yeah, you know, I can't comment too much on the football outside of the fact that obviously there's so many more players. And when you talk about 22 players mm-hmm. on the field at one time and 85-man scholarship rosters and so on. But the challenge it presents in basketball is quite simply this, that here we are. I think we're coming up. This is the third week the portal has been open, the transfer portal. And the last I checked this morning, I think there was over 2,200 kids in the transfer portal. You know, I think there's heavy from Division I, and then there's a good amount from Division II that go into the same portal. So, and obviously Division III as well, but in terms of Division I and Division II, there is over 2,000 student athletes wow. in the portal. And when you talk about that, I mean, it just creates an incredible amount of chaos when it comes to rosters, knowing your team, knowing who's going to be on your team. And when you think about and you now incorporate NIL, name, image, likeness, and you incorporate unlimited transfer, it's just so outside of the scope of what anybody even thought was college basketball, recruiting, roster management, building, graduating, all those components that went into college basketball are really, at least at this point, you know, early April 2024, none of it is there anymore. None of it is there in terms of, and as big as anything, the three things I would tell you is the transfer portal, name, image, likeness, and the ability to transfer unlimited times. Those three things are three things that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, were completely non-existent. And it's basically like you're at an intersection and both directions have green lights. And that's what you're seeing right now.
Wow.
So, Michael, what do you anticipate in terms of changes on your Pirates roster for the 24-25 season? Any kind of guessing in terms of new personnel, people leaving, people coming in?
Absolutely, Al. There'll be a lot of it. You know, right now, we've already had a lot of players that have decided to enter into the portal, and we are actively out there. This is that time of year right now when in recruiting, and whether it be high school, international, junior college, or the portal, which will be a significant amount, adding to the roster for the spring and the summer of the 24-25 season, you know, as we move into next year. So as far as specifics, you know, we have, you know, we signed a player in the early signing period in November. We signed a player, so a high school player from South Carolina, LaDante Felton, that will be coming in. We're very excited about him. We received a verbal commitment from another big guard that we're very excited about that we can't talk about because he'll be signing here shortly. And, you know, once that happens, you can talk. It's just the NCAA rules in terms of talking about prospects until they have actually signed their national letter of intent. And then we have you know, a good amount of open scholarships just because of the turnover. That is completely natural. It's crazy because I'm looking at our team. We'll have about half of our team back, and we'll bring about half of it will be new guys. And I was talking to some college coaches this morning as everyone's headed out to Phoenix for the Final Four. And some people are looking to add, you have 13 scholarships in college basketball. Mm-hmm. And some are saying, yeah, I got to go get 10, 11, 12 new guys right now. So, you know, it's all about how you look at the glass. Is it half full? Is it half empty? Where is it? I know this. We're really excited about the players that are returning, including our leading scorer, someone that is an all-conference player, and he'll be back next year, R.J. Felton, and he's a dynamic guard. And so, you know, he'll test the NBA waters here this spring, but he'll be returning to Greenville, so we're very excited about him. And the other players, the young pieces that will be coming back, we absolutely lost a few players that, you know, we love to coach. We're very excited to have had them back, but I also wish them the best in what they're pursuing moving forward.
I got to ask you an interesting question that I think a lot of our listeners might have always thought about here or there, but, you know, what is the percentage? It's got to be really small. What's the percentage of the top college basketball players taking it to the next level and to the pros?
Well, when you say pros, the wonderful thing about the game of basketball is that it's an international game. And there are some incredible, incredible basketball competitive, high monetary earning leagues all over the world. I mean, some of the very best are overseas. So there are great opportunities for players in college to go overseas and make money, to play in various leagues. Obviously, the G League here in the United States, you know, the affiliate of the NBA is a great option. So to go pro, you know, we had the teams that we coached at Tennessee before I got here. You had a good amount of guys that left those teams going to earn money. Now there's so many different levels of that. And on any given year, if you lose three, four guys, you probably will have half of that group, if not most of them, go play overseas. Here at ECU, last year was our, we completed our first season, and finishing our first year, we had two seniors on the team. One is playing overseas right now, Luigi Debeau. He's in Spain, making a good career playing. And the other graduated and is a grad assistant at the University of Tennessee, you know, funny enough, and he's pursuing his master's degree. So one out of two ended up playing professional. This year we have no seniors, so, you know, nobody will test that in terms of that. But the percentage where it gets really fine, and you talk about it, is the ability to go play in the NBA. I mean, you are talking about, you know, under 1% that has the opportunity to leave college and go play in the NBA. And it might be underneath a 0.5%, to be quite honest, when you look at the overall numbers, because this is a global game. And I heard Mike Bray, from former coach of Notre Dame, say it about a month ago. He said it in an interview. He said that by, you know, maybe by the year 2028, 29, somewhere around there, that half of the NBA will be international players. And you already see it in the draft each year. You see it on teams' roster, just the incredible impact that international players have on NBA rosters. But it's definitely going that direction. It's not going the other direction. I mean, the NBA will be, you know, a ton, if not half, majority players sooner than later, international.
Yeah.
After that recent LSU-Iowa game, I'm becoming a big WNBA fan.
Hey, I am too. I sit there, and you know what I think every time I watch? I said, I wish we could recruit Caitlin Clark to be on our team, to be honest. That's what I wish.
Exactly. Well, maybe one of your two beautiful daughters will be playing hoops at that level.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. But, man, that women's game the other night with Iowa and LSU, and you think about what NC State is doing with both the men's and women's teams making a run to the Final Four. I mean, it's historic. I mean, it's historic what the NC State men's are doing right now, what their men's team is doing back from 83, and everyone thinks about the Valvano run that they made, and now this team is doing. And funny enough, at Tennessee, we coached DJ Burns for a year. He was with us when he was a freshman, so I got a chance to know DJ and coach DJ for a little bit. But, yeah, both Final Fours are going to be really exciting this weekend.
You know, we got to let you go here. I know you're busy. I guess one of my final questions to you is, you know,
whether if he remembers John Wooden and the UCLA Bruins and that great run in the 60s.
That was your time, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know what? Being from Los Angeles or not from Los Angeles, you know, everybody knows John Wooden, and he's one of the best of all time, and that run that they made. And I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it again. I can tell you that, Al. But, yeah, obviously UCLA and their tradition and Coach Wooden, I mean, he's just has an incredible legacy in college basketball that all coaches look up to.
Yep.
What do you have to do as – I mean, certainly, I mean, you're the head coach. You've got a lot of people who work with you as well. And, you know, and I have a feeling, you know, a lot of the head coaches in all of college sports have to deal with this in a certain capacity. But what does it take to recruit these days? I mean, especially this time of the year, you know, getting in front of the, you know, prospects who really make you just – your eyes get bigger. You want them to play for you. But at the end of the day, it just seems like your job is so much more challenging than it was years ago. So what does it have to – what does it take for you to convince, let's say, a top prospect to come play at ECU?
Well, you know, it's such a loaded question, obviously, and it's a great question. And the thing about that is this, is that when I made that statement about the game has changed more in the last 2 years than it has in the 20 years combined previously, a lot of it is exactly what you just said. And I'll give you an example that – recruiting and recruiting processes, generally football, basketball, things like that. Over the years, it's about relationship development. It took time. Sometimes you recruited players for 2-3 years, if not more at a time. Of course, there were many instances where it was quicker recruitments, and there's all kinds of scenarios that would lay out different, you know, different results. But here's the bottom line. Recruitment has always been high school, could be a freshman, sophomore, maybe a junior as they, you know, they start to become on the scene later. But you're recruiting them, you're seeing them as sophomores, as juniors, you're developing relationships with them. Right now, truth be known about it is, the portal hits whatever day it opened up, the day after Selection Sunday, and you have a mass, as I said, the best way I can describe it is a giant intersection, four-way intersection, where both stoplights are on green. And that's what you got going right now. You got thousands of kids, hundreds of coaches, everybody, it's like speed dating. It's almost like everybody trying to figure out what's real, what's not, who's interested, who's not. Statistics and film are now the number one way of evaluating. Whereas before you spent, I mean, think about it. If you're recruiting someone out of the transfer portal right now, you can watch film of them all the years they were in college, but you're not going to go watch them work out. You know, you maybe on a rare occasion, maybe that's happening. Whereas if you're recruiting a high school kid, you may have seen him play in 10, 15 high school games. You see him with his summer league team. You see him in practice. All of that is gone in terms of the majority of the recruitment right now, as you mentioned, at this point in time.
Yeah.
You're looking at film. You're talking to their college coaches. You're talking to their high school coaches. You're looking at their stats. Hey, what did they do when they – if you're recruiting someone, you're saying, man, look what they did when they played that team from the ACC or the SEC. You're trying to evaluate all that stuff. It's just different. It's more like NBA free agency than it is traditional college recruiting. And then the final piece of that, and this is, I would say, is the cherry on the sundae, is that name, image, likeness, and the ability for programs and student athletes, who they have within their program. Do their universities have name, image, likeness opportunities for the incoming or current student athletes? And thank goodness at ECU we're really excited about, because, you know, Team Boneyard is what is our collective here, and the Pirate Nation, the fans of ECU athletics are really supportive of ECU and our student athletes. So we have that opportunity and we're thankful for it.
Are you headed out to Arizona or are you going to watch it on TV?
You know what? I'm still TBD. I had a flight planned and trip planned. It got interrupted with recruiting yesterday. And so right now I decided I'm here in Greenville. I was just here in the office, and some of our guys were in this morning working out. And we'll kind of see how the next couple of days play out. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't be so bad just to stay here in Greenville and not make that trip.
Exactly.
That sounds good to me.
Great catching up with you. Appreciate the insight. Our listeners will enjoy the interview. I'll be talking to Steve and your mom, Lynn, soon. Hope everybody's healthy. And thanks again for your time.
Yeah, appreciate it, Michael.
Yeah, same to you guys, man. Great to speak with you, Al. Good to really hope you and the family are doing great.
All right, buddy. Good luck to you.
Okay, take care.
There you go. Michael Schwartz, head coach of East Carolina University. By the way, speaking of college basketball, I just got an update that Dickie Vitale just got his checkup. Cancer checkup, yep, that he does every 6 to 12 months, and so far so good. All looks good.
Great.
Someone who joined the show a couple times over the years and one of the best. Anyhow, more to cover right here live on Living the Good Life.